All right, Queen's Club, y'all come on in. Let's get this party started. I just got through approving the new 12-week journal that we're building out for Think It, Ink It, Shrink It Camp. It is so cute. It's got we're doing like a little custom journal, and it's got like pictures and quotes, and it's a guided journey where every week it has like a little different theme and stuff. I'm so proud of the team. All right, it looks good. So today, here's how Queen's Club coaching goes. You just raise your hand if you'd like to get coached. So anyone can get coached. There's no appointments needed here. This is for anyone that has lost at least 25 pounds or more inside of No BS. And let me get Coach Lizzie pulled up. And let me get my screen fixed. There we go. So nobody needs coaching in the Queen's Club. Y'all all got it on so much lock that shit's rolling good. Nobody needs help. At least put something in the Q&A and ask a question. Otherwise, we're gonna have a short call and we're gonna get out of here. Crim been working since 4 o'clock this morning. Y'all don't tempt me to take an early day. Let's see. We got Kara here. Oh, I have piles of shit. I'm just pretending to work. Oh, okay. Well, somebody type in at least in the Q&A because here we are with over 157 of you tuning in, and not a damn soul wants to raise their hand to get coached today. Thank you, Sinkono. There we go. But y'all better raise your hand. Sue, you need to tell me why you're stuck, or raise your hand and let's get you unstuck. It is 30, it is 25 pounds regardless, Nancy. I just saying it fast. All right, what are we coaching on?
I have been, at camp. July I lost 4 pounds, and then August I'm back up, but I've been focusing on my assessment, and I did a lot of stuff that felt really good, but
Okay.
I'm just sort of wavering in that 1 and 2 pound
How much of the
up.
4 did you gain in August? Okay.
Two.
And then why?
I have to, from looking at my data, I think what I have done is, drinking could be one thing. I maybe need to cut down on my drinks.
Okay.
And, I don't
Usually when
always have,
somebody says maybe, it's like,
it's a
yeah.
yeah.
It's like when somebody's like, if somebody says, I'll ask them, how many overeats you have last month? Five. It's like, all right, that's 10. Unless you got hard
Yeah.
data.
No, I definitely know, I have either 1 or 2 drinks almost every night, and I probably need to just like tame it down to a couple times a week is what I'm
Why are we not
thinking.
just doing that? Why do we need them every night?
I don't know. It's a kind of a habit. I visit my neighbor and
Well, let me ask you this. All right. So let's say you're going to go to your neighbor and tonight you're not going to have drinks. What happens?
oh, he'll harass me a bit, but he'll leave me alone.
Okay. But like, what goes on in your head, though?
Oh, I don't want to disappoint him. He's 84. This is his little enjoyment. We visit and
So if you go over there and you don't drink, he's like, fuck, I can't enjoy you now.
he does say that. He says, "You're no fun if you don't drink." But
Okay.
I
Well,
have
do
turned
you
him
know what you
down.
could say back? You better watch. I'm a load of fun no matter what.
That's a good one, actually. Yeah.
No. And you actually look
Yeah.
like a fun chick.
Oh, and then the other thing that I noticed, I always plan a dessert, and I've really been struggling, but like last night, I did a successful urge sheet that I passed on my dessert because I wasn't hungry, even though I planned it. And so I'm really trying to kind of watch that. I
Okay.
think I put it down there because I don't want to like mess up my plan. But I have a lot of, I don't have my habit tracker. It's on my phone. So, but I had a lot of days. Last week, I probably had only 2 days that I followed my plan. I always ate to enough. I'm doing really good with that, but I'm not following what I plan each night because something happens, or, and it's usually dinner.
But what happens? Like this is something to really dive into, because I'm assuming the reason why you want to get coached is because it's like, what I'd like to do is lose another 4 pounds like July versus right. put 2 back on and be like, well, because this is the problem. What is your name?
Cindy okay. Connolly. Yeah.
Okay. Cindy. Okay.
I had to figure out how to get that off of Zoom. It's bad.
No, it's okay. I think we won't go into that. You can, if you want to, just write in to support. And okay. Vern or one of the, or my brother, they'll help you make those changes. Uh-huh. But what we don't want to do is allow ourselves to believe, well, the reason why I changed my plan is because something happens. Because if that's why we're changing the plan, guess what we have to do? We have to go change the world, or you're going to have to become a hermit.
Yeah.
One or the other. But if things happen, and you have a way to be there for yourself, to either decide, even when things happen, I still follow my plan, or when things happen, I've got to make the next best decision. I can't, like, when things happen, like, let's say you make a plan. Give me an example of when something has happened and you're like, the plan went to pot.
Let's see, not followed plan here. That one. Okay. So I had the other night I had planned for soup for dinner. We went to a Mexican restaurant and I had chips and salsa, which was not on my, well, actually it was on my plan, but I felt like I was probably eating a little more than I should have on chips.
How was chips and salsa on your plan with soup?
It was a menu, though. We were going. I knew we were going to a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you were going. So that was on your plan. Yeah. Okay. So that's not the same. Like, find me a time where, because in this case, it's I didn't stop it enough. Mm-hmm. So we just need to be aware that when we go and plan Mexican, like, I need a strategy. I will tell you what I always did when we go to Mexican. I don't have chips until after I eat my meal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I order, like, if I'm going to have soup, I order soup. I like to order fajitas. I eat my meal. And then if I still have room or want chips and salsa, then I have them. It's like a small hack where I can tell myself, oh, you can have chips and salsa. You're just not going to pregame before we eat.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I've been pretty good about, like, pushing them away, and I'll ask for a plate and put a few on, but like that particular night I didn't. And I can tell you just sort of don't stop, you know, the salt and the salsa. And
well, it doesn't just sort of happen.
I know.
This is what happens. I start eating chips and I don't want to stop and feel deprived because it's time to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're not actually being deprived, but guess what our brain does? It acts like a turd. It's like, but you know, everybody else, my partner's eating chips. If that damn guy would just quit bringing them to me. Like our brain says all that and we think, oh God, that mentality, I must be deprived. It's like, no, you are not deprived. You're having shitty thoughts that feel depriving, but it's okay. Nothing really bad's going on other than you feel like shit because you're not eating chips right now.
Yeah. I think too, I feel like when I'm in those situations, I fight it and then I'll start a little, and it's this uncomfortable. And that's what I need to learn to figure out how to do, is to sit with the uncomfortableness of everybody having chips and sitting there and just learn how to talk instead of eat.
Learn how to talk to yourself first.
Yeah.
Because the first warning sign is I'm fighting it. That's not a successful urge. If the only thing that, like, this is what you've set yourself up for, and this is so important for all you to hear, is I go and I can either feel like shit for not eating And that's code for sit with my discomfort, or I can fight with myself, or I can eat like everybody else. What do you think your brain's going to pick every single time? If the only options are fighting, feeling like ass, or eating, your brain will go to eating. The trick is we are not going to fight with ourselves.
It's okay
to feel a little uncomfortable, but your discomfort is not coming from sitting there and calmly telling yourself, I know it's hard to sit here when everybody else is eating. I get it. Like, this is not the easy part, but you're like, no, we can't eat it. Or like, however you're like, when you're working yourself up into a tizzy, that's not discomfort. That's painful. And I don't want y'all in pain, but I want you sitting there and like, so I'm going to ask you, Cindy, like, how could you sit with chips? And I'm not saying you can't have any chips.
Right.
But how can you sit there and have the chips the way you want to have them versus just free-for-alling them so that you can lose weight while eating chips? How can you sit there and talk to yourself in that moment? It's different than what you're doing right now. That would feel a little bit more less abrasive.
I'm not sure other than figure, I mean, because what I really like is the salsa.
Okay.
So, but the chips are the conduit. I don't know. I mean, I need to figure out how to relax with it, I think, because I definitely go in pretty nervous about like, okay, I've got a battle here.
Well, that's the first thing, walking in saying, I got a battle here.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to say? Because we're not battling when we're going. What are we doing? We got to take the temperature down, because you're walking in like a loaded, cocked gun waiting to go off. And you're like, nobody move, for the trigger might go off.
I thought the planning was the part that would help that, but it does. It actually does.
All planning does is orient you to what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's all it does. It doesn't make you do shit. It gives you an idea of what's going to happen. But then your brain now has to think during, like when it's time to do, it's like, now it's time to battle. Like, here's a suggestion. What if you just went in and said, now it's time to feel some urges. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to want to eat chips. I really like the salsa the most. So I want to remind myself to take out, like, ask for a little plate, take out the chips that I'm going to want, and remind myself, that's my serving. Have as much salsa as I want. And I'm going to eat it slow. And when I'm done, I am prepared to still want more chips. But I'm going to remind myself my soup is coming. It won't be long before the next part comes. Do you see the difference between that and battling with yourself?
Yeah. A little more relaxed with it.
Yeah. It's still allowing yourself to be uncomfortable. But it's like saying, like, this uncomfortableness is normal, instead of like, you know, I got to be on my guard and I got to battle and this is really going to suck and everybody's going to be eating around me. And then we wonder why. It's like, y'all think that that's like, I just need to sit with my discomfort. That's sitting with an asshole. That's not sitting with discomfort. Discomfort is a friend. Discomfort is like, come on, we can do a little bit more. Come on.
That's a good way. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Because I am. I'm like totally nervous when I'm like, I'm with my best friends and I'm like on edge because I'm trying to figure out to eat or not to eat. And then I just sort of let it, don't think.
Well, yeah, because you're going for connection and you're going to want to disconnect from yourself if you can't feel that. Because you're the one blocking the connection. You're making it all about the food instead of like, I know I'm going to be a little nervous, but I have a plan. I'm going to try these things. I might be a little antsy, but I really want to focus on my friends. I'm really here to connect. The more you can redirect to that, then you're getting what you're supposed to be doing there with just a little uncomfortableness until you get used to it. And then eventually you're like me, I go and they put the chips on the table and I'm like, ooh, that looks good. And I'm like, yeah, they always look real good. And you get to have some when you finish your meal. Yeah. They'll be just as good then. And if they're not hot, I'll just ask that guy to bring me some of the hot ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's something I could try. Definitely, definitely all the little things we tried last month helped, you know, on the clock. That really, really helped me because I'm a fast eater and I need to slow down. And
well, keep doing it, because if you're a fast eater, just remember, we're not going to break that habit just in July.
Right. Like, right.
Keep doing it. Keep doing some of those things. Like, so just for all of you, you know, a lot of our challenges and stuff are 30 days and we ask you to do these things. And then y'all dead stop the moment a challenge ends. I'm like, you got the tools. You don't need me sending you a newsletter to keep doing it. But It takes 66 days of doing it before your habit brain even gets a whiff of like, are we changing?
Yeah. I definitely, the assessment, the new deep dive assessment was great. And I've redone it and kind of know what I need to focus on this month. So
Okay. It's
great. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Adia, you can raise your hand and I'm going to call on Sue. All right. Gail, I don't know what you're talking about over there, but I can tell you the answer. Whatever you just asked is not laziness and stubbornness. That's called self-shaming. We need to actually figure out what's going on. Just saying, I see your chat, Gail. All right, Sue, what are we coaching on?
Okay. So I have lost 76 pounds.
Good.
From my highest weight.
All right.
I have been in unintentional maintenance for 2 years.
Okay. Well, let's break that habit.
I want to break that habit. And
great. What do we got to do? Because I know you're fixing to give me all the reasons why, like, who gives a fuck what has happened the last 2 years? You've been maintaining and now you don't want to. Now I want to know what the hell you're going to do about it.
So part of my thing is because I've been coached before. I'm also an LCS coach.
Okay.
And I've been coached and it's like, well, maybe you don't really want to lose the next 50 pounds.
I'm just going to call bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, you would not be here sitting here saying I'm an unintentional, like, you already gave yourself away.
Exactly. Well,
I want to lose 50 pounds and this is what I'm not doing to do it. Tell me that.
Right. So one of the things I the last couple of weeks I've been like, okay, I'm going to really investigate this. One of the things is sleep.
Okay.
I have for probably a month plus really been struggling with sleep. I have a really hard time going to sleep. I wake up periodically during the night and it's mainly because my hips and my knee hurt.
Okay.
And I have arthritis. I've got bursitis in my hip. I mean, you know, all the things. I'm doing PT.
Okay.
So I know that the sleep is an issue.
Okay. But have that been going on for 2 years?
No.
Okay. So it's not sleep. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Okay.
Tell me why you have not lost 50 pounds in the last 2 years. Now, I'm just going to tell you about this. The reason why, like, sleep sometimes can be the thing.
Right.
But if that's not been going on for 2 years, right, I would just tell you, this is just for this month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've been not sleeping. This is probably not anything until we can get your pain under control.
Right.
Probably not something we can solve.
Right. And
so we have to lose weight regardless.
Right. Right. And I honestly am working on the pain. I'm doing my PT. I'm a retired PT and I'm pretty good about doing my stuff. I'm walking every day.
So you're doing everything. Well, that's good to know. Like, I'm already addressing this. What are we not addressing, though, that for 2 years has kept you not losing 50 pounds?
So there is a piece of it. And I know that this, there was discussion about this on a call, I want to say a week ago, Saturday. I was not able to be on it because I was traveling. Okay. There's a piece of it that is fearful of, I eat less than I did at when I was at 270. Oh, yeah. If I lose another 50 pounds, what am I going to be able to eat?
I'm
if I have to keep decreasing what I'm eating to accommodate.
But you don't know if you're going to have to keep decreasing. At some point, you might not.
True.
Why are we even concerned about that? You know what I would do? I would just tell my brain, look, I'm pretty sure I see other people in the world mm-hmm. who are at their goal weight and they get to eat food. I've never seen anyone who's like, all I get's a pea and a stalk of broccoli.
Yeah.
Like your brain is making a problem that's not even like, let's just go and see if you get to the point to where it feels like you're having to starve. Guess what? You're at your weight and we'll stop.
Right. Okay.
But can you at least try to see if it's going to be a problem before we decide not to lose weight just in case it's a problem?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And there's a part of me, I have been doing thought work about it. And I think that's a piece of it. I don't know if that's all of it, to be really honest.
But let's start with that though. Let's just stay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, where's the first place you're cutting?
I'm cutting quantity.
Right. But I mean, like what meal, where are we going to have?
So
what's going to be the scariest place where you're going to be like, I fucking hate stopping it enough here.
So I do eat two meals a day and I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
Like I don't eat, I eat my dinner and then I generally don't eat again until like 1 o'clock the next day.
Wow.
And I'm comfortable with that. I'm fine. Okay. I do have pretty much every morning I have tea with cream in it.
Okay.
My lunch is generally either a salad or like yogurt with fruit and what else do I put in it? I put usually some nut butter, either like an almond butter.
Do you have protein other than the yogurt?
Sometimes if I'm hungry, I will mix in some protein powder with it.
Do you not eat meat?
I do eat meat. So I'll have meat at dinner. I don't eat a ton of meat.
What is your typical dinner?
Typical dinner is, so like tonight is a pretty typical dinner. Boneless, skinless chicken breast, done in balsamic vinegar with tomatoes and mushrooms and probably some polenta.
Are you sure you're getting enough food? I know that sounds crazy after I just like was like, yeah, let's see if that becomes a problem. But you're not eating much. Are you already on, you're already down to just two meals a day?
Yeah.
And like even your dinner sounds woefully low in fat.
Okay.
You sound like you're woefully low in protein.
Okay.
And if your body feels like it's starved of nutrients soon.
Right.
It is going to hold your weight. This is not going to be like now. Is there a reason why you don't eat breakfast? Are you just not hungry for it? Like you keep saying, I'm okay with it, but
I'm just not really hungry for it.
Okay.
I really am not. I want my tea with cream in the morning.
That's fine.
That I'm not giving up, but
I wouldn't give it up either. I don't give up my coffee with cream. Well, actually I am giving up my coffee with cream, but not because of my cream. Okay. My fucking stomach's acting like a tool about coffee these days. And I'm not very pleased.
Yeah. Well, and I will say I am cautious in the foods that I choose because 2 years ago I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease.
Okay. Okay.
And so I am careful in terms of vegetables.
Okay. So why did you want to go to quantity to make changes? It does like, I'm just trying to figure out here why, like, are there overeats going on at times? Like, is there a piece of this puzzle I'm not seeing? Because if you ate salad, yogurt and protein and polenta and a vegetable every day for 2 years.
No, I have not. Yes, there are overeats that happen at times.
And what are those like?
Those are like I might plan on having like two slices of pizza for dinner, and then I end up eating three and like garlic bread. Like those are kind of the overeats that I have.
Okay, and then how often do those happen? A week?
Maybe like once every couple months for that.
Okay.
I don't typically do sweets after dinner or after.
Don't tell me what you don't do. Tell me anything you could think of that I might be missing that could explain why you're maintaining. From a coach perspective.
From a coach perspective, probably, you know, if we go out to eat, I may eat more than planned. We go out to eat probably once a week.
Okay.
We don't eat out a lot. I do get full. And okay. I don't want to eat like past being full.
I rarely say this, but I am going to say this.
Okay.
I think you need to add in breakfast.
Okay.
I really like, I've got two suggestions for you.
Okay.
Number one is I'm just concerned that you've been intermittent fasting because basically you're fasting.
Right. I know.
Whether
that.
Or not you call it fasting or I'm not hungry for breakfast or whatever.
Right. No, it is fasting for sure.
A lot of women don't do well with fasting.
Okay.
It sends their body into like a holding pattern because it's feeling like it's now getting starved and you have Crohn's disease on top, which probably means it's interfering with nutrient absorption.
It can. Yeah. I mean, I actually just had a physical and my numbers actually were really good. I've been really stable since I've been on Humira. So,
I would suggest just try adding breakfast, like have your tea with your cream. Don't take that away.
Yeah.
I want you to think about adding a breakfast in, and it doesn't have to be huge. You know, we're not talking about an Uncle Jethro breakfast.
Right. Right.
Something like at like if you're comfortably eating at one, try doing like around nine and see if it actually, after a few weeks, shakes your body up.
Okay.
My other suggestion would be to see a nutritionist at this point.
Okay.
Because everything that you're telling me, like once a week I go out to eat and I eat till full. And once every 2 months, I eat an extra piece of pizza and some breadsticks.
Right.
That really shouldn't be keeping you in a 50 pound holding pattern for 2 years. If that's really all that's going on.
Right.
But it's the Crohn's disease little thing. And then plus your body.
Yeah.
With bursitis and stuff.
Yeah.
Your body is also, let us all know, Corinne is no doctor or nutritionist. I'm just telling you shit that I have, the doctor Googles has told me in the books I've read.
Right.
But your body is in another inflammatory state.
Right. Oh, absolutely. No, it absolutely is.
Yes. And when it is, and if it's probably been a longer term thing, I'm sure that your joint pain didn't just start last month. It just probably is now disrupting your sleep.
No, it's been going. I actually was diagnosed with RA in 2014, and they now think that the arthritis is related to the Crohn's versus RA.
Okay. So just even being in that inflammatory state, because I really think you're doing a great job with your food. It sounds like you're eating things that would not be aggravating that. But when your body is in an inflammatory state, it's under stress.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's under stress, and it's under the stress of intermittent fasting.
Okay.
And a lot of women don't do well on it.
Okay.
It's just a lot of women don't. Some people do, but some women just don't.
Yeah.
It could be literally fighting for its life to keep the weight.
Because
it feels like it's under threat. It's getting threat from the intermittent fasting. It's a threat from the RA.
Okay.
I would just, you know, the simple solution is to try a little healthy breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, do it around like whenever you feel comfortable.
Okay.
And then see if that happens. You're not going to gain a bunch of weight. Like if the scale goes up 2 or 3 pounds, please do not freak out because your body may rebound just a little bit like, oh boy, nutrients. Like this is great. It could be trying to heal. So don't like flip your wig if adding a healthy breakfast makes the scale flux just a little bit.
Okay. All right.
But give it a few weeks. And if that doesn't do it, I would really encourage you to find a nutritionist who specializes in Crohn's and arthritis. Have them look at what you're doing and just see, because it could, like, something in me is just screaming. This could literally be, you may be not actually getting enough food. And maybe that's why, like, I shouldn't have like jumped down your throat. I was wrong, because as a coach, it's where you want to get more of the story. Because I'm like, no, let's just see what happens. Because 99% of my people come through here and is like, I don't want to tell you about this overeating that I'm doing.
Right.
Like, I want to talk about everything else but that.
Right.
But your intuition is kind of saying, like,
yeah,
we're not eating much. Oh my God, if we're going to lose weight, like, maybe we won't be eating anything at all.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case, but it's kind of like your intuition, like, it's almost like your body is saying,
okay,
I don't think we're currently getting enough food.
Okay. Because I mean, my husband will even comment, like, you know, if we're out to eat or something, and I'll be like, okay, I'm done. He's like, are you sure? You really didn't eat very much. Cause I mean, I am pretty active. I generally walk a couple miles a day. I'm working to incorporate a weight training routine. That's a slow process for me, but I'm working on it. So it could be, I hadn't really thought about that piece of it, that I may actually not be getting enough.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, check in. Just try that. Let's just see what happens. If you want to come back next month, raise your hand. And you can tell me what happened. Okay.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome. Somebody asked, will there be videos on carbs, fats, and proteins? There will not be one in here anytime soon. We have, like, Leslie, if you, oh, I don't know where the question went. Hang on. Where'd it go? How much our body needs to feel safe to release weight. It's not really, like, in order to feel safe to release weight, you don't really need a carbs, fats, and protein thing. I am creating content right now for the Project You groups. And when I started that group, it's a special group program with me. I am teaching them that stuff, answering all the questions, doing all that kind of stuff. And then sometime next year, that's going to be some of the newer content that will come out, Leslie. But here's the short of it, because I just wrote the safety and satiety lesson for them. The short of it is that don't worry so much. And this is just, it goes like, this is it totally in line with everybody who teaches intuitive eating. A lot of times, like when you do, like, there's like the 10 golden rules of intuitive eating. The 10th, you don't do the 10th step, which is quality of food, until all other things have been done. Safety first. Your body needs to feel safe that it's going to get fed. So for a lot of you, the body insecurity around food has more to do with the lack of eating enough, period. Whether that's ho-hos, ding-dongs, Twinkies, chips, salsa, whatever you want to say. What I would do for a lot of you is, if your body is in some kind of state where it's like, I can't distinguish my hunger cues, I really can't figure out my enough cues, like, I've been over dieting and overeating for so long that there's like, I really feel like there's a sense of dysregulation happening in my body, which means I'm not losing weight. I don't know, like, it's just not happening, or I don't feel safe. Go to timed eating first, and like, set up regular intervals to eat. And I know that sounds very contradictory to what I teach in OBS, but most of us don't have that. You're still going to stop it enough. The difference is that what we want to do is, we want to give our body, like, every single time it's hungry, it needs to eat to reestablish a rhythm. And then when you feel like you have enough, whatever your feeling is, we want to stop there. Even if it's like, for you right now, safety is just full, and it's not like, you know, abandonment eating like I used to do. So you want to reestablish some rhythms there. But a lot of times what people do is they want to start tinkering with fats, carbs, and proteins and do all this stuff when their body's like, I don't give a fuck what you feed me, but would you fucking God just do it when I'm hungry? And we want to reestablish the safety with our body around the hunger. All right. I hope that helps with that. If y'all want nutrition support, you should get a nutritionist. Y'all, I am not a nutritionist. I am going to talk about general nutrition next year. That is part of the 2024 calendar as we start like taking it to the next level and everything we teach in NoBS. But if you're needing nutrition help, go get you a nutritionist right now. And I would look for a nutritionist who specializes in intuitive eating, not a nutritionist for other things, because you want somebody who helps you with that. But most of you don't need a nutritionist right now. What you really need to do is you need to trust that this is going to take time to learn how to have a little hunger and eat instead of waiting for extreme hunger to eat, or to be afraid to wait for hunger because you've over-dieted for so long that any signal of hunger throws you into a panic. If waiting for hunger is throwing you into a panic, y'all, I would definitely like make your daily plan and I would time my meals. I would just thought, you know what? I'm going to check in with myself every day at 7 o'clock. If I'm ready for breakfast, I'm going to eat breakfast. If I'm not, I will eat the breakfast when I'm ready. And if you notice after a few days, like when it comes to snack time, that like you're kind of like panicky and all this other stuff, then just start eating the breakfast, even if you're not hungry, and do that for a few weeks until you reestablish a rhythm with yourself. Then go back to, am I actually hungry? And if you're not, it's like, all right, I will back this meal out today. I won't eat it today. A lot of this, which is what fucks y'all in the head, y'all want so many rules. And then when I give you basic rules, like eat when you're hungry, eat when you're enough, you're like, oh my God, I don't want rules. And then when I give you flexible stuff, you're like, oh my God, I want some rules. Like, there's no hard and fast way to give you rules that will say like, oh, when I follow these rules, I implicitly trust myself. Trust is an emotion that comes from your thinking. Trust is not what comes from a rule. Because if I give you rules, a lot of you think like, well, I can't trust myself with those. If I don't give you rules, you'll say like, well, it's too free flowing, so I don't trust myself. This is how we know it's not rules that are creating this issue. It's what we're thinking about everything that we do. So I know this is Queen's Club and there's going to be a lot of people with questions about this, and that's okay. We have time. All of you, we do not need to panic. There is going to be more content coming out later next year or sometime next year, but this is the gist of it. This is what I want you to do. If hunger scares the shit out of you, legit scares you, and if you're in Queen's Club, it's probably not the case. If you've lost 25 pounds, it's highly unlikely that you lost 25 pounds scared shitless. Probably, but if you're listening to this, if it scares you or it sends you into panic, try some timed eating, but you still need to stop it enough. You still have to build the trust on the back end side. So if you're going to eat when you're not hungry, because you're like, you know what I'm doing? I'm reestablishing a rhythm with my body. I want my body to know that it will be fed. It does not need to panic. It does not need to think that we're not going to get enough. I will protect you. I know I've done asshole diets in the past, but those days are over. We are going to relearn how to do all of this. So do a little bit of timed eating, and that would be fine. But we want to practice, and I can stop it enough because I'm rebuilding trust with my body. I will get these foods again. In fact, I might even enjoy them more tomorrow because I get to have them anytime I want them. We're now just planning and we're just going to stop it enough and allow myself to learn how to enjoy food instead of eating it from guilt, eating it from overwhelm, eating it from fear, fuck it eating. I don't want to do that type of eating anymore. This is the new world for me. And that's what I want. All right, let's go to Adia. I like Annette, like here's a good example. I haven't felt good in a couple of weeks and I have like not been hungry. And I've had to like literally make myself eat because like something's been going on with my gut and that's why coffee is on its way out for a little bit. But like today I woke up at 4 o'clock. At 6:30, I was starving. I haven't ate breakfast at 6:30 in the morning in God knows when. And I even had diet mentality going on like, if you eat now, good Lord, you're going to have to eat like 4 or 5 times today. Like you're going to be up for so long and blah, blah, blah. I ate. And then guess what? At 9:45, I was starving again. Again, my brain is going ham about how like, oh my gosh, it's not even lunchtime. Look at you. You're already trying to eat your lunch. Blah, 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 blah. And guess what I did? I just told myself, look, we are not going to eat like a dieter. And I just was like, this is diet talk. This is normal. You have got way more years of diet talk in your head than you have of, like, I've only been at this weight for 16 years. I had 30 something years on the other side. I'm not even at the tipping point to where one outweighs the other. And I went ahead and ate. And then guess what? I've just been busy. If I'd gotten hungry again, I would have just ate, but I've been okay. But I had to like get over all that angst because I promise all of you, if I didn't eat and I made myself wait, I am just like all of you. The first little break I got this afternoon, I would have ate my lunch and then I would have been like, oh, and some of those crackers will be good. And the next thing you know, I would have had a little something else. And I would have ate to full and like full because I would have created a situation that would have triggered how I acted in the past. My job is always to try to figure out, Corinne, how do we not treat ourselves like we used to? It's Seinfeld. George Costanza had opposite day. I still try to do opposite day all the time. All right, Adia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You look great. Pink is your color.
Oh, well, thank you. I raised my hand because you said no one raised their hand. So that's why I put it in the Q&A. That's good. Okay. So this was kind of more of a question. I don't know if it's more a life coach question versus a Queen's Club question, but I posted on remember the video you did? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I posted like shit. Yeah. So I posted on there saying that I was just very grateful for how you were showing your vulnerability, that it was really nice that you did that. And then I was giving kudos to you saying, you know, you created that in this program, that you're allowing other women to be able to share that and have a safe space for that. So that's just very amazing that you did that. I did have a question, though. I've done every single virtual camp you've had since 2019.
You probably just laugh because you're in every one of the stinger videos.
Oh, I do. When you're like, I think I say, damn, Corinne, you're good.
Yeah. And I'm like, I have it memorized.
I love it. Yeah. That's funny. But so my question to this is, I was saying I've been an avid journaler since, I don't know, I was 12 years old and with your program, I've gotten really deep onto realizing a lot of things, which has helped with, it's going to be 2 years in October that I've kept off my weight. With 2 years with that. Yeah. So my question, and I was trying really hard to ask it on the post that I did, is that when you get to this, when you see what your triggers are and you get to the truth of what the root issue is, like, and I think when I saw in your video, I'm like, oh, she's at the root of what her issue is. So when you get to that, you know what the root issue is, what the cause is, you're left with raw emotions. Yeah. And so my question is, with your program, have gotten to the raw emotions. My question is, what then? Because then when I'm left with the raw emotions, because I journal so much, the journaling is what's got me to the raw emotions. Yeah. And let me say this, I exercise every morning. I do yoga. I meditate by myself.
I have done inner child work. I know if I'm really tired, let me go take a nap. I've learned to not overeat. So even with the raw emotions, I'm not, let me go eat this, let me go eat that.
Yeah.
But what now? What's next?
It's a couple things. Are you going to come to that next camp?
Of course.
Okay. So,
and you know, real quick, my actual sister is an OVS woman as well. So I put you on our big screen and her and I are watching you.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. Okay. So on day two, when we do the inner child lesson, I really will be talking about this because inner child work and also like, feeling your feelings work is very similar. Like they're where you're either talking to a child or for like in Project U right now there, we did a couple of sessions, this week, last week. We also did a couple of them on the Sunday coaching call this week. And
yes, and I watched it, and you know what? Okay. I watched it, and that's where, I love this that you said, and I don't even know if you remember that you said it, but you said, cause you know, I write down things in journal on them. You said the second you judge yourself, that's when you sabotage yourself.
Yes.
And you're like, look at the signal, and that's the sign to go within. And I was like, ooh, I love that. And then yes. And then all of a sudden I saw your post and I'm like, okay, but how do you do that? What's so the next?
It's really like when you're like, when I really feel one of those emotions, okay. I don't always go back to talk to little Corinne. I actually, it's literally just sitting there. And just first and foremost, figuring out where is this in my body right now? And then picturing, like, what am I seeing in my body? So like the other day in that video, and for anybody who will be watching this recording, Lizzie, let's make sure we link that video to the show notes of this call. I went inside and I was like, I could really, like my stomach was really upset. Like I knew something was wrong with me when I'm having stomach issues, that's always been when I had depression as a kid, I had ulcers in the beginning, like, and then I was diagnosed with IBS, and it was really just, I think, a lot of trapped emotion in my body wreaking havoc on my body. Okay. And so I've started having a lot of stomach issues the last few weeks. And so when I went in, I was like, I'm feeling it in my stomach. Like it's so tight. And there's like almost like it feels like waves. And then the next thing I knew, I was picturing an ocean. And so for me, the feelings that I was feeling, this, had a lot of upset, and I had a lot of, I can't remember exactly what I was working through. It wasn't not enoughness. It was, I'll have to go back and look because I've actually had another coaching call since then and we worked on something else. So I don't want to conflate them. But anyway, I just kept saying, I'm just feeling these waves. And when I pictured it, I was talking about it. And this is what I want you to do is I want you to figure out where it's in your body.
So I know where it's at.
Okay. Where is it?
So it's on my left side, my lower abdomen, like right here. And it flutters.
Okay.
So I do feel it. And I feel it when it's raw, where I'm like,
yes,
where I've worked through it. And then it's like, okay, I know I'm raw and I don't know what to do. And I'm feeling it here.
That's when we want to picture what it is, because when you're doing this type of feelings work, mental imagery, if possible, is very helpful, because what you're really doing, I'm just going to explain it at an intellectual level. Okay. What you're really doing is I'm picturing this, like you're fit. Like, what does it look like to you? If you had to like describe it, what would it be?
So it is me, darker than my skin color. So like, let's say that I'm like a mocha color, then this idea is she's just darker, and she has a scour on her face, and she's like pointing her finger, and
it's like an angry version of you.
She's an angry version of me, and she looks really dark because her shoulders are up. She's angry, And this is where I'm confused, because she's angry at, like, let's say the raw emotion is, I don't like the way I showed up.
Okay.
Thank you, Kren, for making me realize that I need to work on how I show up sometimes.
You're welcome.
How dare you?
Well, the intellectual part of it is we want to really picture her. So you want to get an image, because what you're going to be doing during this work is you're going to be dialoguing as Adia with her rational brain.
Okay.
And then she represents raw emotion.
And the raw emotion is that she's disappointed on how I've shown up. But the thing is, I realize how I've shown up.
I know, but we need, she hasn't had a chance. Like, this is what happens for all of you. This is so important. I'm so glad you brought this up. What a lot of us do is we don't listen to the full story that, like, scoured, dark Adia has to say. What we've done is we're like, I know you feel bad and I don't like it. And so I'm going to do all this intellectual work over here. Like, I'm going to come up with new thoughts and I'm going to rewrite the story and I'm going to forgive myself. I'm going to do all these things. And she's still pissed about something. She hasn't been seen and heard yet.
Okay.
You have felt her emotion. Mm-hmm. You haven't really felt what she wants to communicate. And so often these emotions have like a message they really want to send us. So this is the part what you want to do. And if you watch those calls, I kind of do this, but this is where you sit and you really want to picture her. And then you're going to ask questions and you're going to say things like, tell me what you need me to hear.
So on Sunday, when you were walking that lady through that, I was doing it and I know what it is. The message is that she is mad that I'm not forgiving myself.
Okay. That's good. But
I don't know how to do that.
Well, we're also going to work on that at camp.
Okay.
But I will, that's the lesson after inner child work, because most of us bring up like, oh my God, I need to forgive someone or myself or something. Mm-hmm. So you would think I planned it that way. But that you want to keep talking to her and you want to be like, what do you need me to do for us? And if she says, forgive you, then just ask her, what are ways you think that I could do that?
Okay. Like,
literally ask, because she presents mad, but she's only mad because she's mad you haven't forgiven yourself. But she has insights. And when every time it's coming up, when you go and you talk to her, think your next step is to say, I trust you to guide me. You tell me. Like I'm very willing to forgive me. I just don't know how. Do you have any ideas? And just see what she has to say. Okay. You will be surprised. Most of us have all of that wisdom. It's so down in there. And we just need to keep talking to it to get there.
Okay.
And the way we know that this works, especially for you, is you've already peeled back so many layers. We're just peeling back another. Mm-hmm. But I would ask her. And then one of the other things is while you're doing it, you want to watch for her demeanor changing. Because usually what happens is like you might notice her color starts looking more like yours as you're asking for her advice and stuff. She may sit back and because she's now you're finally listening. This is what I want forgiveness on. And this is, I think, what you need to know about it.
Okay.
Maybe you think you did wrong, but you really didn't, or it's just time to move on. And there's no telling what'll come up, but you want to just keep tapping on your inner wisdom. And I want to tell you, we talk about the work. To me, this is the most valuable work of weight loss. And I know you're already at maintenance, but this is where, when this gets removed, you truly do get to enjoy yourself and you truly get to embrace everything about you, even the parts you don't like.
Right.
And it may even be something, Adia, to think about, just even telling yourself, this is a part of my past I don't like, and that's okay. Okay. I don't have to hate it. I don't have to feel ashamed about it anymore. I can simply just be like, yeah.
Well, and I don't have to ignore it either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not like, if you don't label it as a bad thing about you,
mm-hmm.
it's just something that's like not my best moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that I makes have sense. Things that like, you know, I had to forgive myself for not talking to my mother for a year. Mm-hmm. It really started like for a while. I felt like I was very justified in it. We got past it. And then, you know, like I started, like as my mom and I've gotten closer, the more painful that's become for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really had to work on that because now I started having regret. And then I started thinking like, oh my God, my mom's going to die one day. And I'm just going to be sitting around thinking about that whole year I didn't talk about her. Like that was about 6 months ago. I was in a panic attack about that shit.
And see, then, and here I thought, like, you know, I've done so much. Like, come on, Corinne, what else more do I, am I supposed to be working on?
As long as you're breathing, you'll have work to do. Trust me.
It's so funny how that is though, you know,
mm-hmm.
like more deeper stuff just comes out.
Yeah. And then every time you overcome one of those things, you get like exponentially freer. Like you really get to feel mm-hmm. what it's like to move through life with a lot more ease and grace and compassion. And every time you like, what's different too, is like, even though this is coming up for you, you're not afraid to work on it. Whereas in the beginning, we're always so afraid. Like we have now, like in the beginning, everything is so big and so scary and what's going to happen and all this other stuff. You do a little bit of the work and you realize how much better you feel. You don't get, you release the fear of it. It's like, well, I want to do it. Now I'm just confused. Now I'm at a level where I don't even know how to do this level of work. But notice how the energy even shifts there. We're always evolving and growing through it.
Yeah. And my journaling, even though I've journaled forever, my journaling has really gotten a lot deeper. And I think that's why this is able to come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That really helps. That.
All right. Just keep working on it.
I will.
All righty.
I'm excited for November.
All right. I'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Let's do Michelle. Let's just do one more. Just going to give y'all some extra love today. Earlier, we had nobody raising their hand. Now everybody wants to raise their hand. I'm just like, let's just go. Joe says, I've tried to do inner child work in the past, but it felt very fake or phony to me. What feelings could you or be responsible for those? Though? I'm not really sure what the question is, but Joe, if it felt really fake, just keep trying. It's sometimes we don't always have the best guides through doing inner child work. And a lot of times what we're doing is we're not really talking to them. We're talking at them. Most of inner child work is really listening to what that person has to say. It's not about you putting a happy thought on it. It's about really hearing what's going on in that wound that we had. All right, Michelle, what you want coaching on?
Hi. So this already has been a really great call for me. So hopefully I have lots of notes. Mostly I am down to the last 10 pounds and I've just been messing there for a long time.
Okay.
Since February, it's just been up and down on that last one. And I do feel like it has a lot to do with the dysregulation that you were talking about.
Okay.
And so I guess I've just been trying to figure out where to go from here. So I recently started losing weight again. And then I just get into a place where it's hard for me to even feel my signals of hunger and enough anymore. And I just have like wave after wave after wave of urges. And it doesn't seem to matter. I will try to up my food a little bit to see if it's just like get my hunger back, you know, like because I'm both hungry and having just incessant urges.
What are the urges like about? Like, what are you thinking when you're having the urges and what are you urging for?
That's a good question. So it will be for anything in the vicinity. So if I see anything, mostly I just keep like thinking, oh, I should go to the kitchen and get some food. And then I'll say, wait, I just had lunch, you know?
But are you hungry?
When I tap in, again, it's a little bit harder during that time to feel if I'm hungry or not. But I'll be like, hey, how is my stomach feeling right now? Like just really go to my literal stomach. And normally I'm not physically hungry. So, because okay, I'll have so just had lunch. What do
you think the urges are about? Because then it, like, it doesn't sound like your hunger is dysregulated.
Okay. I honestly haven't, like, let's see, what are the urges about?
Well, when's the last time it happened?
Yesterday. So yesterday it was after about like 8 days of that, not stopping kind of thing, that I,
when you say not stopping, what does that mean?
It means I can't stop thinking about food, I would say, like, even though I've had a meal just recently, like, it just keeps kind of, I keep thinking about food,
like, what over is and the over thoughts, again. Though?
Like, I should get another string cheese.
I should get another string cheese. Okay. Why?
Yeah.
Why should you get another string cheese?
It just feels like an impulse.
I know, but just think about it. Like, but I'm not giving you a quiz, yeah, or anything like that.
No, yeah.
Like, legit. Like, yesterday, okay, did you want another string cheese?
Yes.
Okay. So you had lunch. What'd you eat? Just kind of just go with me. I want you to just take a deep breath. We're just going to kind of remember yesterday. Okay. We're going to kind of visually go walk through it. Mm-hmm. So don't try to think too hard. Just tell me whatever comes up in your mind. Okay.
Okay.
So,
you had for lunch. Yesterday for lunch. So I had, like, two grilled chicken skewers from Costco kind of thing. Some salad, and with some like salsa on top, and like raisins.
Okay. So you ate your lunch, and mm-hmm, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. So it was good. Did you feel like truly enjoy it?
Yeah.
Did you experience it? Or was it just like you were just eating? Like I ate lunch earlier and I just kind of, I can't barely remember anything about it other than, yeah, it tasted good.
Okay. Yeah, I sat down at the table. I had it and enjoyed it, I would say.
And then when you finished the meal, before you mm-hmm left, try to go back to the meal. What were you thinking?
At the meal?
Mm-hmm. Like, as you were wrapping it up, like your last few bites and whatnot.
Yeah, I think I was just asking myself, okay, did I have enough? Like, and also, did I stop it enough, or did I just go past? I like kind of a questioning. I finished my whole plate.
Okay.
And
so you finished your meal. You asked, yeah, did I have enough? You checked in. Yeah. And what are your thoughts about that?
That should have been sufficient.
Oh. How do you know that should have been sufficient? Maybe it's not.
Yeah. So I guess, because I felt like my stomach felt like satiated. Like, it felt like I had food in my stomach.
Let's just think of the thought. Like, I finish my meal, I check in, that should be sufficient. How does that feel?
I think I'm thinking it because I'm thinking, and now let's go get another cheese stick and let's go get another something else.
But go back to, that should be sufficient. How does that feel? Because it's not joy.
Frustration, because I'm still thinking about like other more food. I'm asking, when is this going to stop? Like, when am I going to stop thinking about food at this meal? I've just had a meal. Why am I still like?
So it's so curious to me that when I asked you about your meal, you're like, no, I enjoyed it. It was all these mm-hmm things. And then when I ask you, like, when we go back, it's like, it was anything but enjoyment. It was admonishment. It was, this should be enough. When are we going to stop having these urges? When are we going to stop doing all this stuff? Doesn't sound like a really joyful experience.
Yeah. So I think yes, I think that I keep thinking if I eat that the urges will go away.
Well, they will.
And then when they don't, I mean,
that's the truth. If you eat, the urges will go away. That's one way to get them to go away.
Okay. But they still keep coming even after I've eaten.
Right. But your problem is you have a shitty thought about your urges. Your relationship with your urges is, I need you to go away. This should have been enough. When are you ever going to stop? Like, let's pretend. Do you have children by chance?
Yes, I have 8 children.
8?
Yes.
God love you. I'm going to like give you extra time for sure. I can barely handle my 1. Chris won't even let me have a cat at this point. I'm like, fuck. All right. What's your youngest?
She's 2.
Okay. And what's her name? Do you mind telling us?
No, that's fine. Wilhelmina.
Mina. All right. Mina is now the face of your urge.
Okay.
All right. So you finish eating and here comes Mina. She's like, cheese stick. And you're like, when are you going to go away? Like, we've already ate. This should have been enough. How does she feel?
How does she feel? Yeah, probably sad.
She might be sad. But if she actually needs a cheese stick, she's going to sit there and keep coming back. But you're not listening to me. But you're not listening. Like, I just want a cheese stick. And you're just yelling at Mina.
Okay.
I think the problem and the reason why your urges are coming back is because, and this is what happens with urges. Until we drop the shitty attitude about our urges, they do keep coming back because they're not addressed.
Okay.
I would just ask the urge, all right, we just ate. It kind of feels like it should be enough. What is it that I really want right now? If it's not a cheese stick, is there anything else? And if you literally can't think of anything else, if it's not an emotional need, like sometimes those recurrent urges like that have more to do with the question that's not being asked of you, which is, maybe I just want to sit here for a few more minutes. I'm not ready to get up yet. Maybe I just like I'm eating and I'm kind of going through the motions of eating, but I'm so overanalyzing the enough stuff. I've sucked the joy out of a delicious Costco lunch or whatever it is. Like if we're eating lunch and we like anticipate enjoying it and we're anticipating on feeling, you know, I'm giving myself stuff I love to eat, but we're sitting there and we're just so stuck in the analyzing part and we're not taking time to actually enjoy it. Our brain is like, we need to get a cheese stick. We didn't get the joy. Okay. We didn't get the satisfaction. But we have to kind of figure out, like, rather than yelling at our urge, it's like the other person we were talking to earlier. Y'all are doing so much yelling at yourself. I don't know if that was y'all or I've coached so many groups today. At some point, somebody else too was yelling at these things. And it's like, it's that battle. I'm battling. And it's like, we got to stop the battling and we need to get like more like befriending. Like, why do I think I'm having an urge for a cheese stick? This feels like it should be enough. Maybe it's not. Or maybe there's something else. Like if my body feels like it's got enough food, that urge really is about something else. I wonder what that is. And allowing yourself to have the space to do that. And it, like I said, it could be a number of things. Sometimes when you're like on the go, if your meal times are the only time you actually get some peace, it's just no, you know, everything's always chaotic. There's things going on, everything. It would make sense that our urges would say, I need you to keep eating because I know what's going to happen. Your ass just going to get back up and you're fixing to get back to work. You're fixing to do these things and whatever. I need more space. And so then we have to start learning how to give ourselves some space instead of a cheese stick. Even if it's only like, if it takes us 5 seconds to eat a cheese stick, just sitting there for a minute to just regroup, get the balls to go back in. Just like, you know, I am tired. Whatever it is for you. So if you had to guess, do you have any guesses or do you need to just kind of be with it a couple of days through the urges to see what they're really saying to you?
I can see the space a little bit, like it makes it so I don't have to think about the next thing kind of thing coming on, or I don't have to do So I'm not having to do or be responsible for a second, like for other things, you know? So I could see some of that.
Is there something coming up for you? I can't tell. Like, it's a little dark where you are, but you almost look like
misty.
Huh?
No, a little what?
Misty in the eye. I can't decide if that's me being blind or you in a dark room. What's happening?
I'm not sure. I think because I've just been like trying to work on this for so long, I think I'm a little frustrated just with the process of like, come on, you know, kind of thing. I want to get it, like that last 10 pounds. So I think I'm just frustrated a little bit, but
I think that like, this is what I want to offer you. Like, you're in such a hurry that you're slowing yourself down.
I agree.
And it doesn't mean that 10 pounds is going to take forever, but I think the more that you have this hurried energy around your food, around asking the questions, around the urges and stuff, it's keeping you stuck, just one cheese stick after another, not getting there, you know? And another way that you can approach it is by also saying, well, if I don't eat the cheese stick, what am I going to have to feel? And a lot of times it's like deprived. And then just push yourself to say like, okay, I know a cheese stick is not, you know, reason to feel deprived. So when I don't eat right now, why do I feel so deprived? Like, it will be things like it's unfair or something along those lines. And then you ask yourself, what is unfair about life right now? Or it's just so hard. Okay, it's not the cheese stick, but what is so hard about life right now? That will give you insights into what's really going on and why those urges. Okay. I think your urges are really coming back because there's an important message. This is where, if you want, take either that Sunday or elder call where I walked people through their feelings. The next time you have lunch, if you have time, listen to the call at the very end when your urges are going to come. And I want you to picture the urge. And I want you to talk to the urge because it's just a feeling. And usually when urges keep coming back, it's because I am a messenger about something that you desperately need to hear. And you've got to talk to it to figure out what that is. Right now you're just like, look, Mina, get the fuck out. I don't care what your message is.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, thank you for getting coached. That was good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good luck with all them babies.
Sounds good.
I applaud all of you that could have more than one. I mean, you got 8, you get a crown. But everybody else, if you have at least 2, you get a round of applause from me. I couldn't do it. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for today. Queens, you did great. We'll be back next month. Thank you for raising your hand. Y'all come ready next month. Y'all come in ready to raise those hands. Y'all know how it works. Lizzie, make sure we tell when we do the Queens Club notice to tell them to raise their hand quickly so we can get through as many people as we can. All right. Talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.